Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
You guys awake?
Amen.
Amen.
Morning.
Praise the Lord. First, I want to give honor to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to our pastor, to each of you in your respective places. We thank God for another opportunity to be here today. We thank God for the privilege of being used. Amen. Praise God. I want to say that it has truly been a week of revelations for me after having heard the message last week. And I, for one, was able to seriously identify with what was being said, and I had the opportunity to feed and chew on that word all week long, and it's been a blessing. So I want to just share today a little bit with you about what the Lord is doing with me, and hope that we can share the blessing together. Before we go on, I want to take a moment to pray and say also that we will use Judges chapter 6 as our main reference for today. So with that, let's pray. Father, we thank you for just being who you are. We thank you for the finished work of the cross. And we thank you for saving us in the name of Jesus. Lord, you said that we have been bought and paid for with a price, and that we no longer belong to ourselves. You said, O God, that you've given us each a calling, and that you have set us aside specifically for that purpose. And yet, O God, here we were listening about tithing today, and we give less than part-time work for which you've called us to do. And so, Lord, we ask that you would forgive us for that. Lord, you said we could ask anything in your name and you would give it to us. And yet, Lord, we act as if we have resentments towards you when you give it to us, when you choose to give it to us, and not so much when we want you to. So we ask, O God, that you would forgive us for that too. We ask, O God, that you would open up the ears of the listeners today, not only so that they might obtain an additional measure of faith, but so that they might be recommitted, O God, to doing what you've called us to do. And in that way, O God, you use us for your glory. And we in turn, O God, share you with others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I just want to basically deal with 23 verses of chapter 6 in the book of Judges. We have been studying the sovereignty of God in our Bible study, and I need to say to you that that has, for me, been fantastic. We need to really know who God is, and we really need to know what he has said to us. Oftentimes, as we are learning, people say, well, God told me this, and God told me that, and in reality, God didn't tell him anything. You know, God said what he said, and that's it. He didn't tell us a lot of what we hear people saying that he said. I'm going to be coming out of the King James Version and the NIV. Beginning with verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made themselves the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them and destroyed the increases of the earth till thou come unto Gaza, and left no substance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, who said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Praise the Lord. The words say that my sheep know my voice. So we are definitely without excuse with respect to what God has said to us, each and every one of us. We can't say, well, he wasn't talking to me, or I didn't hear it. Verse 11, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon thrashed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. They were putting it together on the low. They didn't want nobody to see him. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, then why then is all this befallen us? And where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianite. Now, didn't it sound like, well, I prayed that the Lord would do this for me, and the Lord would do that for me, and he ain't did none of what I asked him to do for me, and why are you talking about I'm blessed and I'm still hungry? Isn't that some of what we heard last week? 14. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this day, in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Mm-hmm. Hasn't the Lord sent us? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. We were just talking about Abraham. And we were talking about Moses and all the excuses that they made when the Lord told them what to do. They came up with all kinds of reasons why they couldn't do it. And we come up with all kinds of reasons why we can't do what we've been told to do. 16. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, Now, if I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talk with me. Here we go again. Somebody want a sign that they even talking to the Lord. Despite the fact that we know it's God, because he said, My sheep know my voice. But because of our lack of faith, we want him to show us a sign now that all this is real. Because somehow in our mind, we just don't think that this is real. 18. Depart not from here, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring forth my present and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid in 11 cakes of an ephah of flour, the flesh he put in the basket, and he put the broth in the pot and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Here we go. And then Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord. Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. You know, when I think about the times that we live in today, and the pressures, and all the hurts, and all the disappointments of this life, sometimes it's enough to weigh your heart down. And I think that sometimes that has happened to a lot of us. Our hearts get weighed down by so many of the things that we see going on around us, and not seeing the fulfillment of our own expectations, and we come and to be a little down. But today I want to talk about how the peace of God can bring us all back to great emotional victory. And so when we go back to the 23rd and the 24th verse, it reads that, but the Lord said unto him, peace, do not be afraid, you are not going to die. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it the peace, or the Lord of peace. Now, when we look at the word Jehovah Shalom, it means the Lord is peace. Now, Gideon was definitely fearful of imminent death, because of the Midianites. They were not playing. They meant to destroy them. And they got into this situation because they did evil in the sight of God. That's how they happened to be in the situation that they were. You know, we are covered by the blood of Jesus. But you know what? Through our own disobedience, we can remove the blood. We can take ourselves from out of his, from under his protection. Okay? God is not mocked. The wages of sin is still death. It's up to you. Okay, so he was afraid of immediate death, but the Lord's immediate and encouraging reply was, peace, you are not going to die. Now, in place of fear, even fear of death, Gideon experienced the peace of God, a peace that proceeded from God's very person, and that's the same thing with us. If you are at a point in your life where fear is gripping you, you need to be still for a moment and hear God's assurance to you. Yes. Peace. Amen. Do not be afraid, says Jehovah Shalom. Yes. And the thing about it, we act like we're so tough. Scared to death of the circumstances that we find ourselves in sometimes. And we act like nothing is happening when we meet our neighbors. And everything is far from well. Nevertheless, the Lord has given us his peace. And he's told us not to be afraid. It doesn't matter what you're going through. There's no situation that God can't deal with. You need to understand that, know it, accept it, and say, Lord, I'm willing to receive your peace. You know, having peace from the Lord is not contingent on your circumstances. That's why we are weird in the eyes of men because they said, well, I've been privileged to know a little bit about your situation, and I don't understand why you always got a smile on your face. They don't understand the peace that God gives you. And that's why the joy of the Lord is our strength. Okay? Now, another reference we can use is Psalms chapter 4 and verse 8. You can just write it down. It reads, I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. You know, I remember as a kid, there were times when my mother couldn't go to sleep because things were on her mind, and it was, she tossed and turned. She had a habit of reading the word and then putting it under her pillow, and she would go to sleep. And I thought my mother was crazy, you know what I mean? I'm looking for something soft. She got that hard old book up under her pillow. But I didn't understand. She needed to experience and get back in touch with the peace that only God could bring so that she could rest that night. And we know that insomnia is something that troubles millions of people. And sometimes there's a biological medical cause for insomnia, which needs physical healing. At other times, the restless sleep or even the lack of sleep comes from inner or mental or emotional turmoil. Okay, and that condition can be wonderfully overcome by embracing the peace of God. Lord, you know what I mean? Even though the situation looks like it looks, I'm giving it all to you because there's still room at the cross for me to take this thing and put it there. So now we notice the underlying cause of the psalmist's ability to sleep in peace. He trusted entirely in the Lord's protection. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Okay? If we give it to Jesus, we can receive that peace. So now as we prepare for sleep, we have to be encouraged that each night to pray that portion of the Lord's Prayer that says, Our Father in heaven, deliver us from evil and the evil one. Then confident in the Lord's presence and protection, we can lie down and sleep in peace. Now, this is the one that we were told to read, but we didn't want to read. That's Psalm 119, verse 165, which reads, Great peace have they who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. Amen. Hello? We need to know that, to have it in us, because, believe it or not, the word says that the righteous have many afflictions, there are many afflictions of the righteous, right? Another place it said we're troubled on all sides, right? So you, and the Lord has said, be anxious for nothing. Now, I used to think, well, could he be insane? I'm troubled on all sides. There are many afflictions, yet he's telling me not to be anxious for anything. So now, Lord, if I don't just take you at your word and believe that, you know, that what you say is true, so that I might receive or be able to have the ability to take your word and put it in my heart, how can I experience this peace? And then the thing about it, we're so prideful that consciously we know this, but we don't want to be accepting of it, so we don't confess it, and we stay in this fallen state. We don't say, but Lord, I know your word to be true, but I'm having difficulty in coming to terms with it. So help my belief so that I can be delivered from this fear, because he's still saying today, fear not, do not be afraid. Okay. 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 All right. So we have to fill our heart with God's word, the Bible, and we will automatically be filling our heart with God's peace. That's another reason why we need to stay in the word. So many times, let me tell you, so many times, I, just like you, I faced difficult times in life. And, you know, at such times, I found time and again that the words of Scripture replace anxiety. They replace worry. They replace fear with the tranquility that comes from the peace of God. The words of God in the Bible are an ever-present source of peace for your mind and for your heart. Amen. So now I began to understand a little bit about why my mother would pick the Bible up and read it. And just so it would be close to her physically, it's because the word was in her heart, she put the book under her pillow. Now it began to make a little sense to me. When we go to Proverbs 14, and we look at, specifically we want to look at verse 30, it reads, "The heart at peace gives life to the body." Man, listen, this is a powerful example of the psych-soma connection in the Bible. That is the strong effect the state of our inner man has on our soul. As it had, you know, the state of our mind affects us physically. In the modern times, we talk about the psychosomatic factor, the connection of mind and body. And the Bible tells us in no uncertain terms that a heart at peace has a profound effect on physical health and well-being of the body. It gives life to the body. Listen, you could, you know, we've seen it. We've seen people tear themselves down, destroy their health because they're worried all the time. You know, we use the expression worried to death. Well, that can happen to people. Well, you know what I mean? We're supposed to take those anxieties and give it to the Lord. I mean, we're not supposed to experience that. God does not expect us to have to deal with that. He says, be anxious for nothing. He knows that we're people. He knows that we can be affected, okay, by the things that are happening in our lives. But there is the expectation because of the faith that we have received that we give that back to him. Amen. You know, you died on the cross for all men. You died on the cross so that you could take these anxieties and take these fears and take these things that plague my heart at night. Take this sickness, everything that doesn't impact me in a positive way, in a way of that the Lord would expect, we're supposed to give back to him. We get our kids, and you know, I was one of them kids that was hard-headed because I come from the school of hard knocks. I reached a point in time when my mother said, I'm through with you, man. I'm going to go in my closet. I'm not telling you nothing no more. You already know what was expected of you. It ain't like you didn't have no teaching, but you're going to do what you want to do. So you know what? I'm going to take it to Jesus. He's going to fix you. And that's what we do. We take everything to Jesus. If the kids don't want to listen, we take it to Jesus. If we can't find justice in the workplace, we take it to Jesus. If the neighbors don't want to act right, or we see sin just say taking over more and more of the neighborhood, we give it to Jesus. But we don't worry about it. Isaiah 26:3. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. In the King James Version, it reads, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. I have met saints who say, well, you know, I listen to the news only so that I might have an idea of what's going on in the world and stay abreast to that degree, but otherwise my mind is stayed on Jesus because everything that I hear in the news is a confirmation of what God said was going to happen anyway. We have to keep our mind stayed on Jesus. Now, we are people, we pay a lot of lip service because it comes down to trust. If we had the trust that we're supposed to have, fear wouldn't be able to have a chance to get a grip or get establish stronghold in us. If we trusted him the way we're supposed to trust him. We say we trust him with our mouth, but in our actions, it's not trust at all. And the thing about it, we don't even confess that. You said, Lord, I know I'm not trusting you like I'm supposed to. Please help me with that. We don't say that. We act as if everything is all right. And then when we don't get blessed, we wonder why. Perfect peace. What a desirable state of mind that would be, wouldn't it? And in this verse, God provides two avenues to that perfect peace. I want to just share it with you. The first one is fix or stay your mind on him. Now, here's the thing that gets me. Have you ever noticed sometimes when people get troubled, they may come to you and share what's on their heart. And then, before you know it, they're talking to somebody else about the same thing. And it'll come to you, you know what? They're talking too much. They need to be telling this to Jesus. And after they tell it to Jesus, keep quiet. All right. You don't need to say nothing to nobody else. There are times when you need to share, because the Bible says to confess your faults one to another. I know I may be having an area of my life where I'm stumbling and I'm falling short. And so I come to my pastor and I say, listen, I need help with this. This is what's been happening to me. And we pray together. We're going to put this thing to death. We're going to bring the stronghold down so that I can be right with God, because my mind said I need to be stayed on him. But I know my shortcomings. God knows my shortcomings too. So that's the first thing. The second thing is trust in him. See? I had a friend one time who gave me this card, and on the card it read, it's always safe to trust the Lord. Never forgot that word. It's always safe to trust the Lord. See, so if I got a mind that stayed on Jesus, if I have a mind that's fixed on Jesus, all I have to do is trust.